The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing in the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, the workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our study in the word of truth this morning in Genesis 3, where we'll pick up the exegesis of verses 17 through 19. Christ himself proclaimed that true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. The two ingredients, demands the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, coupled with the content of the Scripture, Bible doctrine, the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament, canon combined. Apart from being in fellowship, we, under the natural man, cannot understand the things of God because they are spiritual. They must be spiritually assessed. This demands the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, to lead us and guide us and direct us into all truth. How we are able to engage in his filling role is by making sure we have dealt with personal sin in life. The mechanics for that, as we know, is a rebound technique. 1 John 1:9, in our prayer of confession, God forgives us of our sins experientially, and we are therefore filled and in a state of spirituality, activating our human spirit, able to then assimilate the truth of doctrine undistorted by the sin nature. This is why Many people do not understand the Bible, do not have a correct read, and that is because they do not even allow God the Holy Spirit to truly lead them and guide them in regards to their lives. They do not deal with their sin nature, the sin nature that becomes a very focus and theme in regards to the very study at hand filtered into the human race through the disobedience of the first man, first woman, our corporate parents, Adam and Eve. You must deal with the sin nature in order to exercise God's plan and economy in your life and be accepted by God in action with honor. So with that in mind, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to rebound as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, though every man be a liar, your word stands forever. We thank you for the integrity of your word, the integrity of your person through your immutability. We thank you for the absolute veracity and righteousness and justice that spawns all these things in regards to our own lives, in regards to our so great salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we are able to pursue these things and fulfill your plan for our life. We ask once again that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to the truth in the matters at hand this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Adam and Eve's disobedience in the garden has now introduced a new governing law over God's economy, over his creation. That is the law of sin and death. These things now take hold and have authority in regards to the exercise of God's creation. And in that regards, we have now two alternatives set before men, things that they may pursue in regards to their life, that is either life or death. Based on that very principle, you have the separation and exercise of all other aspects of discernment between those things which are acceptable before God and blessed by God and those things that come under his judgment, such as divine viewpoint, human viewpoint, being in fellowship, out of fellowship, all these things. It all centers on two dominant laws, life and death. And life, obviously, is eternal life as sponsored and provided by God, the original intentions for his creation, for his creatures, man and woman, that they failed to maintain and sustain in regards to the economy of the human race in that respect. So with the new law of sin and death now governing creation, this demands further judgment by God experientially towards those things now or persons in contact or association with the evil, with the sin, operating under death. It's also known as cursing by association. We understand the principle in regards to our own laws as accessories to the crime. One may not be directly involved in the murder, but one may be instrumental in regards to helping set up the situation, et cetera, the getaway driver or whatever individual. So we recognize this principle. And this principle is true in regards to God exercising His judgment now in regards to those who are in association with or contact with evil, unholiness, unrighteousness, things of this nature. And it is this very principle of cursing by association where these individuals become targets of God's wrath and judgment based on that association that literally underwrites the doctrine of separation and why it's so important to apply separation in one's own Christian life so that they do not fall under the umbrella of God's judgment and wrath upon the very evil of individuals around them that they are not willing to separate from. So the doctrine or the principle, if you will, of cursing by association now comes into play, is applied by God. The principle is being applied to those involved in regards to the act of disobedience in the garden, all the parties that are a part of this, the snake, Satan, woman, and man. And all of these things obviously experience God's judgment experientially because of their direct association with the evil entity otherwise or another entity involved in this regards. The snake, we saw the literal snake was actually and literally cursed in regards to being the instrument of Satan to deceive the woman in the garden. And that is done to recognize in principle, symbolically and figuratively, the spiritual ramifications that are involved in regards to the snake's involvement in the garden as applied to Satan and mankind in and of themselves, including the woman. The literal cursing comes physically in regards to the snake mobility, his locomotion of being of walking on legs previously to now slithering on his belly in regards to the entire species. This symbolically places the snake as representing the very person of Satan who is called the serpent of old in this respect. Also, the eating of dust, metaphorical, looks at the degradation in regards to the serpent in relationship with the situation at hand being headed by Satan. The serpent, obviously, being a literal animal, was passive in regards to the whole situation. He did nothing. The serpent, it did nothing to literally cause someone to sin. It's an animal. But the passive nature of the snake represents, in regards to mankind in general, after the fact, that none of us have any say, if you will, in regards to our spiritual condition when we come into this world. We are all born spiritually dead. And that is based on the association with Satan and humanity. And then our association with our corporate parents, Adam and Eve. So the slithering on the belly further shows and symbolizes, represents figuratively humility, etc. In regards to being in this condition and association with Satan. Then immediately after the curse upon the snake, Satan too is judged. His judgment is in association with the woman. See. He chose the female gender, the female sex, as being his target and avenue to infiltrate the human race with his evil. And because of that, God turns the tables on him. And in regards to the prophecy at hand, from the seed of the woman will come the deliverer, the one who will ultimately crush Satan's head. So we see even Satan being cursed by association with the instrument that he used in regards to the woman, bypassing the authority of the man and God's authority and regime in that regards to bring in the deception and the fall of the human race in that respect. Then, after that, we see the woman judged. Her association is in relationship to both being the seed that will be the deliverer, pointing to the Messiah, and her relationship with her husband, based on her actions in regards to her act of disobedience under deception. And obviously, part of her judgment is because she will be the bearer of, ultimately, the gender, the sex, will be the bearer, the Messiah, the deliverer. That deliverer will be a suffering Messiah at the first advent. He will undergo much pain and much suffering in regards to making provision of salvation and undoing what the woman, under deception, brought us into through the influence of Satan in that regards, and crushing Satan's head ultimately in that respect. And because of that, now her giving of birth will have much increased pain and discomfort associated with it, as a hint and reminder in regards to her folly, the human race, and the female gender folly in regards to the garden and the act of disobedience on their part, on the woman's part. Then her relationship with the husband brings about the aspect that because of all this, now the new sin nature, a sin nature, has now become part and possession of the genetic code of both man and woman. And whereas the initial relationship of husband and wife, while there was authority established, with the authority being the male and the woman being the helper and subordinate to that, they were to function in complete harmony with one another, and taking control and subduing God's creation in that realm. If you will, the example I use is like the Godhead. You have authority in the Godhead, but they function perfectly and in harmony with one another in persons in regards to facilitating God's plan. Well, that's the way initially, in a certain sense, that the man and woman was designed to function. Now all that's changed in regards to having this perfect harmonious relationship operating as one. What you will have because of the introduction now of the sin nature, the STA, you will have conflict in the relationship between men and women, husbands and wife, in this respect. And the very aspect of the man, the words of the man ruling over her, is not a repeat of the original command and recognition by God of the authority structure. It looks at man now ruling over her with a sin nature, with an STA. And her desire for him is not a fact. It is an endeavor because of her sin nature. They will never, neither one, will ever come to a complete perfection in regards to doing this in their relationship with one another in this condition. So, with the sin nature. So all that has to be understood as post-fall judgments and results in regards to the judgments at hand. And because of the act of disobedience, now perfect harmonious relationships and innocence between men and women will no longer exist. Obviously, we can greatly overcome that. We can recapture that to the degree we're willing to isolate our sin nature and apply the doctrine between husband and wife as so described in the Scriptures. Now, in verses 17 through 19, we have the final party indicted in judgment, and that is the man's judgment. That's your recap for the day. I like to go over these things because the more times I go over it, the better I understand it. If it doesn't help you, well, that's fine. It helps me. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. Roll over. Not that way. Just like my dog. Try it again. But sooner or later, he usually obeys. All right, looking at the Hebrew. Then to Adam he said, you had the wow conjunction with the preposition lamed. This little letter in the Hebrew looks similar to that. Plus a proper noun or name for Adam, Adam. A-D-A-M. Very transliteration of the word for man. Followed with the cow perfect third masculine singular of our verb amar, A-M-A-R. And to Adam he said, or then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. So we have a causal clause introduced with our conjunction key, K-I-Y. You have listened to or obeyed is the cow perfect second masculine singular of our verb shama, S-H-A-M-A. Followed with the preposition lamed, to the voice of is the noun common masculine singular construct by our word kol, Q-O-L. Your wife is a noun common feminine singular construct with the second masculine singular suffix isha, I-S-H-A-H. The cause is compound, hence you have two causes literally in view here, and because understood, have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat from it. While consecutive plus the cal and perfect second masculine singular of the verb acal, A-C-A-L, and you ate from the tree is the preposition men, M-I-N, followed with the definite article, common masculine singular absolute noun, ets, tree, E-T-S. Followed with the relative pronoun, asher, or asher, A-S-H-E-R, which, I commanded you. I commanded you is the PL verb, perfect first common singular with a second masculine singular suffix. I commanded you, tesserah, T-S-A-R-A-H, tesserah. Commanded you, thoroughly charged you. PL is intensive active in the Hebrew. I commanded you, follow with the preposition lamed and the cal infinitive of our verb amar, saying, again, A-M-A-R, you shall not eat from it. You have the negative particle lo, plus the cal imperfect second masculine singular of the verb, again, acal, A-C-A-L, followed with the preposition with the third masculine singular suffix men, from it, you shall not eat from it. Curse is the ground because of you. You had a cal passive participle, feminine singular absolute, of the verb arar, to curse, A-R-A-R, to experience the judgment of God directly. Is the ground. So it's the same word used for the cursing of the literal snake, the serpent, back in verse 14. Now the ground is cursed. Is the ground, definite article, common feminine singular absolute of the noun, adama, A-D-A-M-A-H, adama, because of you, is the preposition bait with the following preposition and second masculine singular suffix abur, A-B-U-R, because or on account of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Again, preposition bait, this little letter in the Hebrew. in toil or labor. We have our common masculine singular absolute noun of itsabon, I-T-S-A-B-O-N. Our same word used for one of the words for pain in the woman giving childbirth in verse 16, itsabon. You shall eat of it. You have the cow in perfect second masculine singular with the third feminine singular suffix. Again, akal, A-C-A-L. All the days of your life, you have the common masculine singular construct of our noun kol, K-O-L. All plus our noun for days, common masculine plural construct yom, Y-O-M. Of your life is a common masculine plural construct noun with a second masculine singular suffix, chayim, C-H-A-Y-Y-I-M. Verse 18, for all your toil and labor, both thorns and thistles, it will grow for you. Vowel conjunction. Common masculine singular plus the common masculine singular absolute of the noun kots, Q-O-T-S, both thorns or briars, used 18 times, plus the vowel conjunction, plus the noun common masculine singular absolute, or word for thistles, deradar, D-A-R-E, D-D-A-R. Dredar, used two times here in Hosea 10:8. Followed with the hiphil, which is causative. Imperfect third feminine singular, our verb to grow here, tesama, T-S-A-M-A-H. It will cause to sprout or grow. Saw it back in chapter 1, this verb. For you is a preposition with a second feminine singular suffix, lamed. We note the feminine suffix, for you, in the feminine. He's talking to Adam. And you shall eat the plants of the field. Well, consecutive plus the cow, perfect second masculine singular, again, a call, A-C-A-L. You will eat, plus the sign of direct object. Body will eat the plants of the field. Plants of is the common masculine singular construct noun, etseb, E-T-S-E-B. Followed with the definite article or noun for field, common masculine singular absolute, sadeh, S-A-D-E-H. Verse 19. By the sweat of your face, you will, or you shall, eat bread until you return to the ground. Preposition bait, by, then our noun for sweat or perspiration here, common feminine singular construct, ze'ah, Z-E-A-H, of your face is common masculine dual construct of our noun with the second masculine singular suffix, off, A-P-H. You will eat, literally, cal infinitive construct with the second masculine singular suffix, cal imperfect second masculine singular of our verb, a call, you will eat, followed with our noun for bread, common masculine singular, absolute lechem. L-E-C-H-E-N. Lechem. The phlegm and throat sound. Bread or food. Plus the preposition ad until, A-D. You return to the ground. You had the cal infinitive. Here the cal infinitive construct with the second masculine singular suffix. The return of you, literally, shub, S-H-U-B. Until the return of you, literally, to the ground, preposition L, E-L, followed with a definite article, and again our noun for ground, adama, A-D-A-M-A-H. Because from it you were taken. You have the conjunction T, followed with a preposition, with the third masculine singular suffix, men, because from it, M-I-N. You were taken is the cow passive perfect, second masculine singular verb. Lacock. I don't have a transliterator for you. L-A-C-H. Excuse me. L-A-Q-A-C-H. Lacock. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. For, because, again, our conjunction key, our noun for dust, common masculine singular absolute, afar, A-P-H-A-R. For dust, we saw back in chapter 2, verse 7, for dust are you, literally. You have the pronoun, second masculine singular, atah, A-T-T-A-H. And conjunction while, preposition L, follow with their common masculine singular absolute, the noun afar repeated, plus our cal imperfect second masculine singular, our word for return, to return again, shub, S-H-U-B, and to dust you will return, literally. All right, rereading here the three verses. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and because, understood, have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil or labor, hard labor, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, for your endeavors, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it, the ground, you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. All right, the analysis of these three verses, verses 17 through 19. One, the judgment on the man is the longest, as he bore the greater responsibility. He is the authority. God gave him directly the command not to eat from the tree. Obviously, the woman received also the command. But that is after the chain of command had been established in the household with Adam first. He was the authority. He was the one responsible. He could have put a stop to all this. And he could have, if you will, been the place of a savior if he had not disobeyed and listened to the voice of his wife. But he was the authority. He was the one giving charge over the garden and all the things in the garden. The ultimate head. And with authority comes greater responsibility. So we must understand that principle, that authority is just not a badge to wear, to throw around your weight and things of this nature, but is to assume responsibility in regards to those given to you under your charge, whether on the job, whether in the house, in the local church, or whatever. So, he was authority. The judgment, obviously, is longer in that respect. Two, he followed his wife's beck and call instead of steadfastly adhering to the divine instructions given to him personally. He listened to the voice of his wife. Whatever rationale she gave him. And obviously, while not the exact words are revealed to us, implied is that in some form or fashion, in her rationale, which would have been human viewpoint at that point in time, even though he knew it was wrong, he was convinced to go ahead and also partake of the fruit, forbidden fruit, with her. So we have the woman listening to the voice of the serpent, and now the man listening to the voice of his wife as the evil, if you will, goes downstream, or upstream in this case. So only two times of his six uses in chapter 3 now is the Hebrew noun Adam or Adam used without the definite article in this chapter in our verse 17, and then we'll see it again in verse 21. And it is to be understood at this point in time as to his personal name, Adam, rather than translated the man. Even the lexicons recognize this as they parse it as a proper noun rather than a normal parsing in the masculine singular common absolute state. And that is through the omission of the definite article. So he is being addressed personally in regards to his judgment by name. God's calling him by name. And he said to Adam. See, that's the picture you're to get. The flavor of the address. So for God's address to him is to be taken on a very personal level, though the repercussions affect all of mankind. While we may, obviously, have our own private thoughts regarding man's disobedience, Adam's disobedience, as being party to and bringing us into this state that we live in of creation. Understand, he took the full brunt of his personal actions before God in judgment at this point in time. Whatever we think will probably not ever do justice to the humility and embarrassment he felt. So the address is to be taken personally. That is the nature of Bible doctrine, whether it's in form of exhortation, correction, instruction. We are to take it personally. If you don't, then what good is it? Even though you are not to take it in the sense of that it's a personal vendetta or attitude in regards to the communicator directed towards you, per se. So we are to take Bible doctrine personally in all levels, just as Adam now is addressed on a personal basis in regards to the disobedience to you did the crime, now you will do the time. See, idea. And the repercussions, obviously, are long-lasting, perpetuated into the future. So 5, now the judgment itself here introduces two causal clauses, as I brought out in the parsing. They're understood in the compound of the first part of the verse, because you listen to the voice and have eaten. So the judgment introduces two causal clauses before the main clause of the cursing of the ground and his toil. Before the main clause of judgment, emphasizing the importance of the former. We are to focus our attention on the two causes as they bring about the results, if you will, the effects of the curse at hand. 6, that is, listening to the voice of his wife and disobeying God's command, i.e. Bible doctrine. That is the two causes. Seven, obeying his wife rather than God was man's fundamental mistake. Our word Shema has the nuance of obedience, to obey, hence to listen. That's point eight. Listen to the voice of your wife is an idiom meaning obey. It's one thing to hear out someone. It's another thing to align yourself with them in agreement and doing what they ask of you when it's wrong. That nuance is attached to it. See Genesis 16:2 of obey. So Sarai said to Abram, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid, Hagar, energy of the flesh, Operation Baby Meal. Here we come when we get there. Perhaps I shall obtain children through her," the beginnings of it. "And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah." Sure, I'll have sex with her. That's Bible doctrine for you. But we see that he obeyed her. Exodus 18:24. It's things like that, that the cosmos, they're so ignorant in regards to the Scriptures and truly what's there, and they take these things and they try to use it and wield it as tools of how ridiculous religion is and things of this nature. It's because they have no understanding of truly what's going on. They can't understand that people are out of God's will often in regards to their lives. Exodus 18:24, in regards to Moses and Jethro, his father-in-law. So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he said. So that makes it explicit of obeying what he heard. And then 2 Kings 10:6. To the king Ahab, then he wrote a letter to them a second time saying, "If you are on my side, you will listen to my voice, obey me. Take the heads of the men, your master's son, and come to me at Jezreel tomorrow about this time." Listening, if you don't obey what you hear, the command, the request, or whatever, then truly the words are empty. Now the king's son, 70 persons were with the great men of the city who were rearing them. So he listened to, obeyed, if you will, the voice of his wife and ate of the fruit. So the fundamental mistake of the male species, the male sex and the human race, is listening and obeying the voice of his wife when it's in contradiction to the plan of God. See, that's your contrast. Rather than obeying God, you cave in and cater to another around you. 9, 5 times now in these 3 verses, eating is mentioned. So you have the two causes. Then the other emphasis is his act of eating. So 10, man's offense consisted in eating the forbidden fruit. That's the sin. Nothing else. That's the sin. And therefore, point 10 continuing, he is punished in what he eats. So that reflects the association of his action with the judgment. Levin, there was no excuse for Adam's failure in the fact that God made extremely clear in command, our verb tessera, our word tessera. The PL perfect verb, intensive active. People can give you excuses all they want in regards to failure to line up with doctrine. In Adam's case, there was no excuse. He was told clearly, precisely, what was expected of him. Just like anyone under sound teaching would hear from the teaching of the pulpit. In regards to doctrine, this is what is expected of you from God. So whatever excuses people give, otherwise who have heard clearly, is no more than an excuse. So there was no excuse here for Adam's failure in the fact that God made it extremely clear in command. Did you not hear what I said to you? You know, the parent to the child. Did I not say to you specifically? So 12, the PL form of the verb is intensive, indicating that no doubt was left as to the instruction and its consequences. You eat of the fruit, die and you will die. Is that clear? Yes, sir. That's the order. Okay. So what does he go out and do? Goes out and eats it. So 13, now the special toil or labor, itzabon, our Hebrew term itzabon, that lies behind the eating of every meal now, as it will be post-fall, is a reminder of the fall. It's a reminder of the fall. The labor that he will now have to engage in, the hard work in order to secure the living grace that God provides, is to be a reminder of the disobedience of the fall of the garden. How could it have been otherwise? 14, for Adam, it is made more painful by the memory of the ready supply of food in the garden. As God set up the situation for the man, he made sure that in order to have living grace, it would be the simplest of things to simply go out and pick whatever fruit he wanted from any tree in order to survive. No sweat off his brow whatsoever, if you will, in that regards. Even though, obviously, he took up gardening in addition to that. But as we recall him back, in regards to the trees were representing blessing by God in regards to men. And out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight, that is pleasant to look for, and good for food. Good for food. So sometimes maybe you don't have an appreciation of what you had until it's gone. And here you see where that would have impact. So 15, now the ground, Adama, supports the life of the tree. And so God curses the ground. Man has to work to produce food. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil finds its nutrients, its nourishment from the soil. So in that sense, obviously, the tree that brought about, if you will, the misery for man via the properties of the fruit causing the genetic mutation of the SCA and death gene, the ground itself is cursed. So 16, the cursing by association here is apropos, as a man was made from the ground. So the ground supplies the nutrients for the tree, but also man was made from dust, from the sophisticated dust of the ground. So the cursing obviously fits perfectly in regards to its association with both the tree and the disobedience of man, who is made of soil flesh. 17, that he has defiled his flesh via the indwelling SCA. So the land is adversely affected. Creation comes under judgment by God because of the very scenario that we're studying and dealing with here in Genesis. Romans 8, 20 and 21. You know that it came under God's judgment, for the creation was subjected to futility. Again, not of its own will. Not any more than the literal snake came under cursing in that respect. But because of him who subjected it in hope, the judgment comes about because of the fact that it will exalt even more so our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, as he redeems this planet under his jurisdiction, beginning the millennial period of creation. That the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption under the domain of will that is inherently evil in regards to its exercise of the flesh, under the flesh, into the freedom of the glory of the children of God, which Christ gave us the victory and conquered the rulership of the SCA, if we will only apply ourselves in regards to the prescription in that respect. Obviously, beginning with phase one faith, and then following experientially with phase two faith, in isolation of the sin nature. So the correlation between the tree and the ground and between man's flesh and the ground is fairly obvious. And the association factor of being cursed. 18, the second item now, explicitly said to be cursed, which is our word arar, is the soil. The first, as we saw, being the serpent more than all other creatures in verse 14. The entire creation obviously feels its effect. But here, the target is zero, is the serpent and the soil. The man and woman, as we brought out, is not literally said to be cursed. That's because their direct curse is in the form of death. But cursing by association still is part of the judgment package because of that death. So 19, the parallel between the serpent's curse of being confined to crawling on the ground and the curse now of the ground because of Adam is not to be missed. 20, the tie between the serpent and the spiritually dead, which is now Adam, is the ultimate cause for all cursing. Satan and spiritual death is what brings about all cursing. Why our planet, people, etc., find themselves in the mess that we find ourselves in. State of chaos, confusion, evil, and all these other things, rather than the immense blessing that was originally intended by God that will ultimately be fulfilled. Satan's hijinks in this regard is only a belch in the digestion of God's economy for all eternity. He overcomes it through the person of Jesus Christ. And just as recalling back in the study of Revelation, our new heavens and new earth will once again set up the economy, the profile of God's creation as He so originally intended. We'll just have some parties there that in the forms of resurrection bodies that would not have otherwise been a part of the original plan. But men will continue to exist, will continue to procreate in natural bodies in that state, but it'll be in a state of righteousness minus the SCA, and they will be able to live forever in that condition, in a perfect environment. As Satan and death is completely and totally overthrown, and both are incarcerated in the lake of fire, where death and Satan both reside, as Revelation so puts it. So no longer will cursing be our vocabulary. In fact, the environment, the situation will be, for lack of better words, so emotionally stimulating of enjoyment and preoccupation that we'll never ever think back in regards to the hazardous nature of our pre-lives beforehand. Certain things in your life you wish you could forget. Well, one of these days you will. So the tie between the serpent, the curse on the serpent, and the spiritually dead Adam as being the cause of the curse of the ground is the ultimate cause for all cursing. 21, the earth has to now be worked in order to provide a living, to provide a living grace. You've got to, in order to make the earth productive, you've got to clear land. If it's not already in a state otherwise, you got to till the soil, you got to cultivate it, learn how to utilize the soil, not to abuse the soil, give it a period of rest to revitalize its nutrients and things of this nature. There's a lot of science in the art of farming if people are not cognizant of that. And then you got to water it. He didn't have to do any of those things in the garden. God watered for him. We saw the river, we saw the dew, all being automatic sprinkling system for Adam, so he didn't have to go out and haul the hose out or connect the pipes, drill the wells, irrigate or whatever you have to do to bring water to land to your areas that you want to farm and produce crops. Now you got to work your butt off to make that land produce otherwise. And since it's such hard work, we'll take a break.